Alright, so we left off. Today's daf is Samech Gimel. Today's daf is Samech Gimel, but we left off on the bottom of Samech Beis Amud Beis. So we actually left off. Tachas, it's actually seven lines up from the bottom. Bitzachas Pisigil Machagores Sak. Instead of the psigil, so a woman will wear, instead of psigil literally means a sash. Instead of a sash, a woman will wear sackcloth. So remember, this is all the Navi describing to us the destruction and the major punishments that will happen as a result of the immorality of the Jewish people. So v'sachas psigil machagores sak, psochim hamavien lidei gila yula machagores sak. Literally, the openings that gave pleasure will ultimately go ahead and be a place that is adorned with sackcloth. So it's a reference again to relations. Kitachas yofi. So again, the pasuk says kitachas yofi because instead of beauty, Amar Rava Hainu de Amri Inchi. This is what people say. Chilufei shifra. So ultimately, again, chilufei shifra kila safach. That instead of shufra, there are now, instead of beauty where there once was beauty, there are now sores. Hashem had called Benos Tzion. HaKadosh Baruch Hu went ahead and literally had called Benos Tzion. What does that mean? Amar Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina Melamed Sheparcha Bohen Tzaraz. That the beautiful woman and beautiful man Tzaraz will erupt on their body. Ksiv Hacha V'Sapach Ksiv Hasam V'Seis V'Zapachas V'Hashem Pishan Yara. So the pasuk says again, and Hashem Pashein Ya'ara. What does that mean? Rabu Shmuel Chad Amar Shenishpichu Kikiton. That literally blood will flow out of the women like water out of a pitcher. The Chad Amar Shena'asu Pishayhen Kiyar. And others say that the opening, referring to Osamakom, will become overgrown with hair and therefore make relations unpleasurable. Amar Yehuda Amarav Anshe Yerushalayim Anshe Shachatzayu. So also, Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav, up until now we've been speaking about the moral downfalls of the women during the times of the Korban. What about the moral downfalls of the men? So the men, the Gemara says, were Anshei Shachatz. So Anshei Shachatz, Rashi says over here, Medabrim Beloshon Gaiva Ula Age Safa. The men were very arrogant, and very crafty in their words. What does that mean? Hayo Adam Omer Lechaveira, a person used to say to his friend, what did you eat today? And we'll say, as we're going to see, these all refer to matter of immorality. So it says, "Bemasa aratayom." That means, what kind of woman did you have relations with today? Bepas amila or bepas she'ina amila. Did you eat kneaded bread or unkneaded bread? So Rashi points out that's a reference. Pas amila. A pas amila refers to a bu'ula, a woman who's already had relations, versus pas she'ina amila refers to a virgin. Biyayin gordali, o biyayin chardali, type of samach gimel. Did you drink white wine, or did you drink dark wine? Meaning, was the woman of light complexion, or was the woman of dark complexion? The mace of rachav, o the mace of katzer. Did you recline on a wide couch, or on a small couch? Was the woman large, or was she small? Bechaver tov, o bechaver ra. Look at Rashi. Isha tov asmara. Was she good looking, or was she ugly? Amar Rav Chista, the kulan liznus. And Rav Chista says all of these things, these are not simple, you know, innocuous statements, but rather, again, these all refer to different matters of immorality. They were asking each other about their sexual behavior. Amar Rav Chista, the kulan liznus. Amar Rachva, Amar Rav Yehuda. Atse Yerushalayim shel kinmon hayu. Listen to how beautiful this is. The Gemara says that in Yerushalayim there were cinnamon trees. And it was b'sha'a shahayu masikin mehen reichan nodeif b'chol eret Yisrael. And apparently often the wood from these trees was used in the Mizbeach, and when they would go ahead and burn these trees, this sweet smell of cinnamon would waft throughout the land. U'mishacharva Yerushalayim, when Yerushalayim was destroyed, negnesu, this wood was hidden away, v'lo nishtayir ele kisa'ora. And the only thing that was left over was a small little barley-sized piece of wood. Umishtachach begazoi did simtsamoi malkasa. and it can be found in the treasure houses of Tzimtzumoy Malkisa. So Rashi says over here, Tzimtzumoy the queen. So Rashi says Tzimtzumoy Kach Shema, that this was literally one of the queen's names. Now this is not a Jewish queen. So whether it's one of the Babylonian monarchs, whether it's one of the Persian monarchs, one of the Greek monarchs, but the Gemara is just saying that this wood was left over. There's this little piece of this cinnamon wood that was in the treasure house of Tzimtzumoy Malkisa. Mishnah. Lo yetzi ha'ish lo b'sayif v'lo b'keshes v'lo b'triz v'lo b'ala v'lo b'romach. A man may not go out on Shabbos. Sayif is a sword. Keshes is a bow. Triz is a shield. Allah, we're going to see. Allah, we're going to see in the Gemara exactly what that is. And romach is a spear. V'im yatsa, and if you went out with any of these items, then chayiv chatos. You are chayiv chatos. I will say the logic would seem to be that halacha lemaisa, these items are neither considered to be a malbush, they're not an article of clothing, nor are they considered to be a tachshit, a piece of an adornment, and therefore you chayiv rotsa midaraisa. Rabbi Eliezer omer tachshitin heino. Rabbi Eliezer says, no, not true. These items, these weapons, are considered, if a man wears them, they're considered to be a tachshit for a man. The Chachamim say the following, Einon ela lignai. It's not true. These items are not considered a tachshit, they're not considered to be adornments, but rather, again, they're considered to be a gnai. Gnai literally means, it's the good English translation, not disgusting, but disgrace. Disgrace. Shene emar, what's the raya? V'kisisu harbosam litim, v'chaniso sehem, bless you, the mizmarov. So I will say here, the Gemara quotes the famous pasuk from Yeshaya. They will beat their swords, right? They will beat their swords into plowshares, right? And their spears, the mizmaros. So what do you see from here? You see from here, say the fact that in the Messianic era, the weapons will be turned into farming utensils indicates that weapons, having to use weapons or having to have weapons, is a disgrace. So the Chachamim say, no, it's not considered to be a tachshit if man wears it out on Shabbos, it's a disgrace. V'lo yisa goy al goy cheref, v'lo yil medu old milchama. And the pasuk says that one nation will not lift up against another nation a sword, and they will no longer be versed in the ways of war. Biris tahora. Biris rabosai is a garter, right? We spoke about this earlier. Biris is this thing. Women used to wear, apparently, you know, women used to wear stockings, but not like stockings that went up all the way over the torso. Stockings that went up like just over the leg, whether above the knee or below the knee, and they would wear these things, like these bands, on top of the stockings to go and keep the stockings there. That's called the biris. So biris is tahora, so the biris is not mekabel tumah. Right, the yotzin bab Shabbos, and you can go out with it on Shabbos. Kivalim, however, kivalim. I will say, we'll see what kivalim means. Kivalim literally means like a leg band. We'll discuss what that case is. Tmeim. Saloch l'maisa. Those are also mekabel tumah. The ein yotzin bahen b'Shabbos, but you may not wear them out on Shabbos. So we'll see why. So says the Gemara. My ba'ala. What is an ala? Kulfa. So Rashi says over here, kulfa. Kulfa is a mace. Look at Rashi. Actually, no, Rashi. See, you know what a mace is? A mace is this stick, the staff, with a ball with spikes on it. That's called an ala. Okay. So the Gemara says the following. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Rabbi Eliezer says the following. Tachshitin heilo. According to Rabbi Eliezer, a man may in fact go out with the weapons on his person, because these are considered to be a tachshit. These are considered to be an adornment for him. Tanya amar lo l'Rabbi Eliezer. So they said to Rabbi Eliezer, "V'chimei achar d'tachshitin heino mipnei mahin b'teilin limos hamashiach." So they said to Rabbi Eliezer, "I don't understand. If weapons are indeed an adornment of the individual, then why are they batal in the Messianic era?" Right, what they're asking Rabbi Eliezer is, the fact that the pasuk says that they're going to go ahead and beat their swords into plowshares indicates that what? That the notion of weaponry will disappear. So if weapons are tachshit, indeed, they say to Rabbi Eliezer, so you don't have to make weaponry disappear. Just say what? Lo yisa goy charev, lo yom medul milchama. No one's going to fight, but the weapons could still be there if indeed they're considered to be a tachshit. Amar lahen lefi she'in on tzrichim. So Rabbi Eliezer says that's different because the need for weapons, there will be no need for them. Because what? Why? Shne'emar lo yisa goy el goy cherev. Because since the pasuk says that one nation will not wage war against another nation, therefore halacha lemaaseh there will be no need for the weapons. Vitehevi lenoi ba'alma. Aye, so why shouldn't the weapons just be for decorative purposes? Amar Abaye miti dahavi ashraga betira. Because it's going to be like carrying around the candle during the daytime. It's just like carrying around the candle in the daytime. It's like an exercise in futility because it doesn't do anything. So in the Muslim Sheikh, where there's going to be no notion of war, then the notion of carrying around weapons is also going to be unnecessary. So meaning, even Rabbi Eliezer, who holds that presently a man wearing weapons is considered to be a form of tachshit, a form of adornment, would hold in a messianic era where there's no notion of war anymore, that weapons become unnecessary, and therefore they'll disappear. Upliga de Shmuel. And Rabbi Eliezer disagrees with Shmuel. Why? What does Shmuel say? Do'amar Shmuel, Ein bein ha'olam hazeli mos ha-mashiach, ela shibud malchiyo, shibud golios golvad. So we'll say, the Gemara says that now we get into a fundamental dispute about the nature of the Messianic era. We actually spoke about this a couple of years ago on Shavuos. Namely, that what? That according to Shmuel, the Messianic era will be exactly like this world. Meaning, life will continue, you'll have to pay your mortgage, your tuition, you know, whatever you have to do is going to be regular. What's the exception? The exception is that there'll be no Shibud Golios. We will not be subservient to the nations of the world, and the nations of the world will respect the autonomy of Klal Yisrael. Now, I will say, remember, lest you think that that's a small thing. I'm just saying, it's amazing that in Yad Yom, I mean, you could look at what's happening in Eretz Yisrael now, right? Look at what happened with the expansion, right? When Israel declared the 3,500 new housing units in E1. So look what's happening, right? The EU is considering centering Israel as an entire block, as an EU. They're calling in the ambassadors now. So I mean, it's pretty miraculous if you think about it for a moment that there's going to be a time where Eretz Yisrael is going to make its decisions. And the world will respect those things. Sometimes when people read this, they feel like it's a little bit of a letdown. Like, this is it? Right? We've been waiting so long for Mashiach, and this is all we're going to get? So, this is pretty big stuff. So the point I was making over here is that in Shmuel's model, there's still going to be war. In Shmuel's model, there's still going to be weaponry. It's just that, again, there'll be this respect for Klal Yisrael. And there are a couple of other things also. There'll be a global recognition of God. But the point that I was making over here is that Rabbi Eliezer's model of Yemos HaMashiach, where the swords are beaten into plowshares, is just a different conception of the Messianic era of than Shmuel. Shene Emar, Kilo Yechtal Evyon Mikeref Haaretz. The poor will not cease to exist from the midst of the land. Misayeli the Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. Don Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. Kol haneviim lo nisnavu ela liyemos haMashiach. So this is Shmuel's idea is supported by Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, because Rabbi Chiya bar Abba said that all of the incredible prophecies that we have in Neviim, that's for Yemos haMashiach. Aval li olam haba, but in the world to come, ayin lo rasa elokim zulasecha. God, no one has seen that, and I has not seen that except for you, God. Now, both sides, what the Gemara is pointing out here is something very interesting, which is that often we use these terms interchangeably, but they're really two different things. According to Bechivar Abba, Olam Haba refers to the place that you go to when you die, versus Yemos HaMashiach, which refers to the Messianic era. Sometimes Olam Haba is also used to refer to the Messianic era, and some, in fact, do use those terms interchangeably. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba does not. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba therefore says, when the Navi speaks about days of glory, that's Yemos HaMashiach. What the world to come is, that even the Nevi'im couldn't describe, because no one knows what that is other than God. V'ika da'amri amr lo Rabbi Eliezer, and others say that the conversation went like this. They said to Rabbi Eliezer, v'chimi achar d'tachshitin hinlo. Now, Rabbi Eliezer, that you say that weapons are considered to be a tachshit for the individual, mipnei mahin betilin v'mos HaMashiach. Why are they negated for the Messianic era? Why will they not exist in the Messianic era? Amar lahen af dimos hamashiach inan betelin. To which Rabbi Eliezer responded, no, I hold that even in Yimos HaMashiach there will be weapons. Hainu de Shmuel, and this reflects the view of Shmuel, upliga de Rav Chiya bar Abba. And it argues on Rav Chiya bar Abba. Amar li Abayi de Rav Dimi, va amar li Rav Avya, va amri la Rav Yosef Rav Dimi, va amri la de Rav Avya, va amri li Abayi de Rav Yosef. Okay, so the point is, we'll say, somebody said to somebody, right? That's what happened over here. My time up de Rabbi Eliezer, de amar tachshitin heinlo. What is Rabbi Eliezer's svara that he holds that a weapon is considered to be a tachshit? I will say it's an interesting approach. Why is it that he feels that a weapon is a tachshit? Because the pasuk says, he's quoting over here the pasuk from Tehillim, Chagor charbicha al yorech gibor hotcha v'hadarecha. So really the pasuk says, gird your sword on your thigh, mighty one, hotcha v'hadarecha, and it'll be your glory and your beauty. So the point he's making over here is that what you see from here, that the weapon is considered to be the glory and the beauty of the gibor. Amri Rav Kahana Lamar Brei Rav Huna, Hai Bidirei Torah Ksiv. But the Gemara says, but one second, but we Chazal Darshan that pasuk to actually be referring to Torah. That is referring to Talmud Chacham. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Bidirei Torah, have a zohir lachzur al mishna secha, shetehein mizumenes lecha b'shas hadin, lahavi raya kecherev al yerech gibor lenatziach b'mokhama, buhotcha v'hadarecha. So the Gemara says, but we dash in that pasuk to refer to Talmud Torah. And what that specifically refers to is the following, that we tell the Talmud Chacham, make sure that you have, just like the gibor, always has his sword on his thigh and is ready to grab it in a moment's notice, make sure that you're sharp enough in your Torah that it's immediately accessible to you, that after 120, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes ahead and asks you about your Torah, that you can immediately grab it off your thigh, just like the soldier, just like the gibor could grab the sword off his thigh. So Amalei, but he said to him, that's fine, but that's a drasha. Ein mikra yotzei midei pshuto. But at the end of the day, sometimes a pasuk also means what? Just what it says. And so the pasuk David HaMelech is extolling the image of the gibor who has the sword by his thigh. So you see from this, says Rabbi Eliezer, that what? That again, that a weapon is also called a tachshit. This is actually interesting. So he responds, so this is again, this is to Marbrei de Rav Huna. So Marbrei de Rav Huna, he responded, V'lo hava yidana de'ein mikra yotemi de pshuto. And he said, I never heard this idea that a pasuk, that emik yotzeim shudo, which means that a pasuk does not leave its simple meaning. I never heard this idea that sometimes you just have to dash in a pasuk according to its simple meaning. So the Gemara said, my kamash malon, what do we see here? And I will say, you have to understand something. So whoever's saying this, the person who's making this statement over here, is obviously someone who's very well versed in Torah. So it's interesting to see that someone could have learned so much and yet never heard this concept of Eina Mikra Yotzei Midei Pshuto, to which the Gemara says, what do we see from here? Ma'akamash Malon, the Ligmar Inish V'Hadr Lisbar. Well, so this is actually very interesting. Look at Rashi. The Ligmar Inish, Ligros Shmaita Mirabein, V'Af Agav Delo Yoda L'Kulu Tamei, V'Hadr Lisbar, Tamei, the Kashi L'Rav Kahana, V'Lo Haviyad L'Hai Taima, V'Tamude Hava Kim Lai Midahava Bar Tamni Sari. So we'll say, what the Gemara is saying is like this. Rav Kahana is the one who said this. Rav Kahana is the one who said that I never knew this concept of Eina Mikra Yotzei Midei Pshuto. So the Gemara says, what's amazing about that is Rav Kahana finished Shas. I'm sorry, I think I skipped that line. Am Rav Kahana, Kad Havina Bar Tamni Sari Shnin, V'Havi Gemirna Leilu Kulei HaShas. So Rav Kahana, I skipped this line, I'm sorry. Rav Kahana said, I was 18 years old when I finished all of Shas, right? I was very young when I finished all of Shas. Granted, Shas was probably shorter for Rav Kahana than it is for us now, but nevertheless, he finished all of Shas. V'lo hava yidana de'in mikra yotzei midei pshuto. And I never knew this concept that a pasuk doesn't leave its simple meaning. So the Gemara says, my kamash, what do we learn from here? The ligmar inish v'hadu lizbar. We'll say it's such a fascinating idea that sometimes in life, the best thing to do is first acquire voluminous amounts of knowledge, and then go back and engage in intellectual analysis. Right? So what we see here is Rav Kahana, what it means that he finished Shas by the time he was 18 is he learned all of this information. Now, did he understand the reasons for everything? Not necessarily. Now, actually, clearly not. So what did he do? he first gathered all of the information. And then after he had all the information, he then went back and engaged in the intellectual analysis to understand. So the Gemara, you see from here, and truth is also, this happens to be a fundamental machlokas in learning, right? That should a person spend time on analysis, or should a person spend time on the acquisition of knowledge? So it seems to be the conventional wisdom is the latter, because the problem with getting fixated on analysis is you begin to analyze, but of course analysis is only meaningful if what? If you have the proper data and information to analyze. So the Gemara says that it could be conventional wisdom is to first acquire as much knowledge as possible, and then after the acquisition of that knowledge, go back and engage in intellectual analysis. Fine. I'm Rabbi Yirmiyah, I'm Rabbi Lazar. Shnei Talmidei Chachamim HaMechadedin Ze'ezeh Ba'alachot. Two Talmidei Chachamim were Mechadedin. Mechadedin literally means sharpen. Sharpen, Rashi says, Shalin u'mashivin. They ask each other and they answer each other, V'lo lekapeach ela lehischadev. And not to shtach one another, right? Not to stump one another, but to sharpen one another. So two Talmidei Chachamim who are sharpen one another, Ba'alachot, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matzliach Lahem. God allows them to be successful. Shneamar, because the pasuk says, "V'hadarcha tzlach, al tikri v'hadarcha ela v'chadedecha." V'lo, not only that, not only the sharpened, ela sh'olun l'gdula. They rise to greatness. Shneamar, tzlach rochav. Yochal afilu shlo l'shma. I might have thought this is true even if they're learning shlo l'shma, not for the sake of Torah learning, but let's say for the sake of kavod or something else. Talmud lomar al dvar emes. Therefore, the Torah says, no, it has to be a matter of truth. Yochol im higiz daito. I might have thought that if they become arrogant as a result of their learning, they'll still find this greatness. Talmud lomar, therefore the pasuk says, va'anava tzedek, that only if there is humble righteousness, v'im zochin v'im osin kein, and if they do this, meaning they sharpen each other in a humble fashion, zochin l'torah shenitna b'yamin. They'll be zocha to receive the Torah that was given with God's right hand. Shene emar, because the pasuk says again, it's all quoted in the same pasuk from Tehillim. V'tarcha nora os yeminecha. Rav Nachman by Yitzchak Amar zochen l'dvarim shenem b'yamina shel Torah. Rav Nachman by Yitzchak says they will go ahead and they will be zocha to understand the things that were said in the right part of the Torah. Now, what does that mean? We'll see in just a moment. The Amar Rava Barav Shili, the Amar Rava Barav Shila, the Amar Yosef Bar Chama, Amar Rav Sheshes. My dichsiv orech yamim biyamina. This smaller osher v'kavod. What does it mean that longevity of days will be enjoyed in your right, but in your left is osher, is riches and honor. Ela biyamina. Orech yomim ika osher v'kavod leka. Does that mean to say that in the right of HaKadosh Baruch Hu there's only longevity, but there's no osher and kavod? Ela l'miyaminin ba orech yomim ika v'kol shekin osher v'kavod. Rather, to those who are miyaminan. Now miyaminan literally means those who go to the right. To those who go to the right, there is longevity as well as osher and kavod. Las mi'ilim, to those who go to the left, osher v'kavod, there may be plenty of riches and honor, however, orech yomim leka, but there is no longevity. What is the right? What is the left? Look at Rashi. So Rashi says, the miyaminan shel Torah, shemefashvishin ta'amein bediktuk, uborin kiyamina hamiyamenes lamalacha. So Rabbi said, remember, Chazal always operates with the assumption that a person is right-handed. So just like when a person does something with their right hand, it's more skilled, it's more precision-based, it's more refined. So miyamina means those who learn Torah in a more precision, refined fashion, that they learn in order to understand. So those, and ultimately in order to do. So those who are miyaminan, who go ahead and learn Torah and try to understand the reasons and try to do avoda lishma, so ultimately they'll find osher, cover longevity. Lasmi'ilun, Rashi says, is kol she'ein yegeyim ba kol tzarchan. So who are the people to the left? The people to the left don't really engage in Torah with all that much effort. More of an intellectual pursuit. It's not lishma. It's not done to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not done to become a better person. It's kind of just done because it's interesting, it's intriguing, it's nice. So there's reward for that also. Because at the end of the day, a person still learned Torah. But the reward for those who go to the left is fundamentally less than for those who go to the right. Amar Rav Yirmiyah, Amar Rav Shimon Lakish. Shnei Tamidi Chachamim Hanochin Ze Lo Ze Bahalacha. Two Tamidi Chachamim who are Nochin. Now, Nochin literally means pleasant. Literally means pleasant. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Makshiv Lahem. Like this. Two Tamidi Chachamim who are pleasant to each other in Halacha. So what happens? HaKadosh Baruch Hu makshiv lahem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to them. Shene emar, as nidberu yirei Hashem, ein dibor ela nachos. Shene emar, yadber amim tachtenu. Mai ulechosh veishmo. What does it mean? And even for those who think Hashem's name, Amar Rabami, afilu chishev lasos mitzvah b'ne'enas v'lo asa, ma'alo alava kosov kilu asa. So it's a very interesting Gemara, that if somebody was precluded from doing a mitzvah and was not able to do so, HaKadosh Baruch Hu counts it as if he did it. This is a very unique idea. Because under normal circumstances, we don't say that machshava is like maisa. We don't say that a thought is like, but if somebody really wanted to do a mitzvah, but was precluded because of extenuating circumstances from doing so, HaKadosh Baruch Hu counts it as if they did it. Amar Rav Chinina bar Idi, kala ose mitzvah kema amara, ein mevasrin oso besoros uros. Anyone who does a mitzvah, kema amara. Kema amara means what? Kema amara means the way it's supposed to be done. The way it's supposed to be done, a person like that doesn't get bad tidings. Shine emar, shomer mitzvah lo yeda davera. Amar Rav Asi v'itim Rabbi Chanina, afila HaKadosh Baruch Hu gozer gzer hu mevakla. That such a person who does a mitzvah kema amara, even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a gzera, this tzaddik has the ability to go ahead and acknowledge. Shina emar, because the pasuk says, here now the Gemara is quoting the pasuk from Koheles, ba'asher dvar melech shilton, that he has the ability to go ahead, umi yomar lo mataaseh. So the word of the king is ruling. Who will tell him what to do? What's the next pasuk? Shomer mitzvah lo yeda davera, that he who keeps the mitzvah will not know anything bad. Which, so the Gemara understands the juxtaposition of those pesukim teaches us that one who goes ahead and does the mitzvah kima amara even has the ability to reverse the divine decree. Amar Abi Abba, Amar Rav Shimon Lakish. Shnei tamidi chachamim shivin zelo ze bahalacha. Two tamidi chachamim who listen to each other in halacha. The Rabbah said, this is really amazing. What does this mean, makshivin? Look at Rashi. Melamdin zedze, umevinim zemize. They listen to each other, and they learn from each other, and they understand from one another. The Rabbah said, you have to understand something. That's big stuff, because by the time a person is called a Tamid Chacham already knows a thing or two. We know the greatest challenge in life is when you already know a lot. It's difficult to go ahead and open yourself up to learn from other people. So two Tamidi Chacham who listen to each other in realms of Halacha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shamei Lekolan. God listens to their voices. Shene Emar, Hayosheves Bagonim B'chaberim Makshivim. Makshivim Lekolecha Hashmieni. So here we go to the Pasuk. Hayosheves Bagonim Shir Hashirim. Those who dwell, right, the friends who dwell in the gardens, Makshivin lekolech, who listen to your voice, Hashmi'ini, allow me to be heard. V'me'ein osin king, garvan l'shchina shemistalek es mi'yisrael. And if the Talmidei Chachamim don't listen to one another, meaning they don't treat each other respectfully, and they don't defer to one another, causes the Shechina to leave the Jewish people, shene'emar, berach dodi, u'dmei l'cha, literally, run away my beloved. Berach dodi. Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Shimon Lakish, shnei Talmidei Chachamim, hamadgilim zela ze bahalacha. So two Talmidei Chachamim, that is an interesting word also. Madgilim, Rashi, madgilim literally means, Rashi says, ma'asvin ze et ze. They gather one another. Va'omrim bo v'nilmot v'navin ben shneinu Hoyol ve'in lanu rav lelamdenu. So two Talmidei Chachamim who gather each other, which means engage each other to learn from one another, to grow from one another, because Rashi points out, let's say their Rebbe is not there. So they gather each other to go ahead and sharpen each other. So the Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ohavan. God loves them, Shne'emar, because the Pasuk says, V'diglo alai ahava. Diglo literally means his banner. So what happens? What's the connection? Just like people assemble under a banner, so too Talmidei Chachamim who make the decision to assemble with one another, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves that very much. Amar Rava, V'hu diyadi surta d'shmaita. So Rava says, but this is only true if these individuals know the general topics in which they're going to engage. Meaning it only helps to sharpen each other if they both possess good amounts of knowledge. And it's also only true if their Rebbe is not in the city, the Migmar may need to learn from him. Because obviously, if the Talmidei Chacham have a Rebbe from which to learn from, better from them to learn from their Rebbe than to spend the time learning from one another. Okay. Amr Rav Abba, Amr Rav Shimon Lakish. Godo Hamalve Yoser Min Oset Tzedakah. We'll say, this is interesting Gemara. It is better to lend someone money than it is to go ahead and give tzedakah. Right, Rashi says, "Gadol hamalva lefi she'in ha'ani bosh bedavar." Because obviously, a person has less embarrassment when they're lent money than when they're given money. Remember, the whole idea of when you lend someone money is you're expressing a confidence, right? If we give someone money, very often what you're saying is, "Here it is," which I have no hope of expectation of getting paid back. Sometimes the reason we don't have that expectation is why, because we don't really believe the person's ever going to be capable of paying it back. When you lend someone money, you are making an inherent statement that I believe that you are going to get back on your feet. Therefore, the Gemara says, "Umato bikis yosem mikulon." And you know what the best thing is? It's actually interesting. The best thing is venture capital, right? The best thing is if you go ahead and you give someone money to start a business. And the form of repayment is that you share in the profits, because then that's not, obviously it only works if you actually believe it. But that is the highest form of tzedakah, because then you believe that not only does the person has the ability to repay you, but what? You believe that the person actually has the ability to be successful. To be successful. That's Malaikis. Malaikis. I'm going to be Abba Shimon Lakish. Impam Chacham Nokim Venotek Kinachash. Listen to this. It's actually very interesting. If a Talmud Chacham Nokim Rabosai means takes revenge, Noter means bears a grudge, Kinachash, like a snake. Chagreyu al masanecha. Nevertheless, you should remain connected to him. Literally means gird him on your loins. Im ama aretzu chasid. If you know an ama aretz who is pious, al tidor bishchunaso. Don't even live in his neighborhood. I will say, what is this? This is actually quite a fascinating Gemara. Even if you have connection to a Talmud Chacham who is profoundly imperfect. He takes revenge, he bears grudges, meaning he's not exactly the paradigm of a spiritual role model. Nevertheless, the Gemara says, remain connected to him. Why? Because you could still learn an incredible amount from his Torah, even if what? Even if he's not necessarily the best role model in Midos. But be careful about having a relationship with an Ama Oretz who's pious. Why? Because again, in that case, when you are connected to someone, you'll end up learning from their behavior. And because he's an Ama Oretz, you may end up actually doing things wrong. Amar Rav Kana, Amar Rav Shimon Lakish. Va'amri le'amar Rav Asi, Amar Reish Lakish. Va'amri le'amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rav Shimon Ben Lakish. Kala megagel kelev rab isoch beso, monea chesed misoch beso. Whoever raises a bad dog in his house ultimately prevents chesed from coming into his home. Now, what does it mean of us to listen to this? Rashi says, "She'eno maniach ha'aniyim lavol epischo." If you have a bad dog in your house, the mishulachim and people who come for tzedakah won't come to your door. Now, some people see that as a plus, right? The Gemara says it's a terrible detriment because you lose out on the opportunity to do chesed. The idea ultimately the Gemara is saying is that if you have a bad dog in your house, you could people are not going to want to come because you have a bad dog. So the Gemara says, Shene Emar, because the Pasuk says, Lamas Mere Ehu. Lamas Mere Ehu Chesed. Shekin Belashon Yevanis, interestingly enough in Greek, Korin Lekelev Lamas. Alright? Amra Nachar Bar Yitzchak, Af Porek Mimenu Yiras Shamayim. It's actually even stronger, Abba. So the Gemara says that having a bad dog in your house could even go ahead and cause you to throw off the yoke of Yirah Shamayim. Shene'emar, because the Pasuk says, again, quoting the Pasuk from Yov, the Yiras Shakai Ya'azov. That's all in the same Pasuk. Meaning the Pasuk begins, Lamas Mere'eyu Chesed, which the Gemara is darshening, the dog will prevent you from doing Chesed to your friend. Viras Shakai Ya'azov. And it will cause the fear of God to leave you, which we'll say is a cause and effect. Meaning one of the most important ways in which we acquire Yiras Hashem is how? Is by going ahead and doing chesed for one another. The idea is that if a person is prevented from chesed, that ultimately stunts the progression, evolution of their relationship with God. So the Gemara tells a story. Hahi isisa the idilahu beisa lemefa. There was a particular pregnant woman who went into someone's house to bake. So she went into someone else's house. She was given permission to use the neighbor's oven. So she went into bake. Navach ba kalba. The neighbor had a dog, and the dog started barking at her. Isakar vlada. Isakar vlada literally means that the fetus became uprooted. What that means is she realized, whether it means that she miscarried, or she realized the fright of the bark of the dog, the fright of the bark did something to her. This thing did that somehow damaged the pregnancy. Amar le mori, the visa lo tidchali. So the owner of the house said, "Ma'am, don't worry, don't be afraid. Why? Vishakile nive. We had his fangs, his teeth removed, his sharp teeth removed. Vishakilin turfe. And he was declawed. So the homeowner said to the woman, "Oh, don't be afraid, right? Don't be afraid. What's the big deal? It's just the bark, right? He can't bite you. He can't claw you." Amrale, she said to him, "That's very nice. Shekula tivusech v'shaji achizre. Take your goodness and throw it on the thorn bushes." That's a popular Talmudic adage for thanks but no thanks, right? Meaning thanks a lot. It's very nice to say that. Why? Kvar nod vlad. Because the damage to the pregnancy has already occurred. So you see from here, the Gemara is bringing this story. The Gemara is bringing this story that the damaging effect of the dog is lav dafka related to its ability to bite or its ability to claw. But we see again that even in this case, the bark to someone who was nervous, who was scared of it, ultimately had these damaging effects. Amar Afuna, mai dichsev. What's the meaning of the pasuk when it says smach bachur biyaldusecha viyetivcha libcha? The pasuk reads like this: Smach b'chor b'yaldusecha. So rejoice, young man, in your young years. V'yitivcha libcha b'mei b'churasecha. And your heart shall be glad in the days of your youth. V'alech b'darchi libcha, and walk in the ways of your heart. Omer einecha, the way of what your eyes show you. And know. And know that God will bring you to judgment for all of these things. So the Gemara says, "Ad kan divrei yitzahara, mikan ve'ilich divrei yitzar tov." So the Gemara says, until this point are the words of the yitzahara. From here are the words of the yitzar tov. Meaning, what does that mean? That this last phrase over here, "I'll call ila yivyachel lekim b'mishpat." So the first part is the Yitzhahara telling you, "Oh, do whatever you want." The last part is the Yitzhahara telling you, "Just realize that whatever you do in your youth, ultimately, God will hold you accountable for." Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish says, "Ad kan l'divrei Torah." Until this point, it's in talking about divrei Torah. Mikan ve'ilech l'na'asin tovim. So Reish Lakish understands that, no, the first part of the pasuk is talking about Talmud Torah. That you should rejoice in the Talmud, in the Gemara that you're able to learn in your youth. And the last part of the pasuk is "know that God will judge you," refers to the fact that learning Torah is not enough, but rather you must also go ahead and be in the possession of ma'asim tovim, of good deeds. Fine. The Gemara goes back now to the discussion of biris Torah. So if you remember again, biris is the garter that holds up the stockings. So the Gemara, the Mishnah said that a biris is Torah. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Yehuda, biris zu etzada." So Rav Yehuda said, a biris etzada rabosai is like a bracelet. It's like a bracelet. So Rav Yehuda says that a biris is a bracelet. Massive Rav Yosef, biris tahor, Rav Yosef ba b'shabnes. Rav Yosef raised the contradiction. Right? We learned that a biris is tahora, and you can go out with it on Shabbos. V'ilu etzada, and yet when it comes to this bracelet, tmeihi. We know that it's mekabel tumah. So this is what it means to say biris tachas etzada omedes, that the biris is instead of the etzada. Now, what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Rashi says tachas etzada shebitzroa omedes b'shok lahachzik bate shokel. So just like sometimes women wore bracelets or some kind of armband to anchor down their clothing, to anchor down their sleeves, so often a woman would wear, so the biris is, what the etzada is to the arm, the biris is to the leg. That's just like, again, the etzada held down, let's say, the sleeve. So too now, the biris, the garter, holds up the stockings. So the Gemara says, Yosef Ravin v'Ravuna kamed Rav Yirmiya, v'Yosef Rav Yirmiya v'kamenamne. We'll say, listen to this. So Ravin and Ravuna were sitting in front of Rav Yirmiya, and Rav Yirmiya was dozing, right? Menamne means like dozing, not real sleeping, but dozing. V'yasiv Ravin v'ka'ama. And Ravin made the following statement. Biris ba'achos, a biris is only worn on one leg. Kivalim b'shtayim, but yet kivalim are worn on two. Now we haven't defined this word kivalim yet. Amali Rav Huna, elu v'elu b'shtayim. It's not true. Both biris, the garter, as well as the kivalim, were worn on two legs. Umatilin shalshelis b'neihem, v'na'asu kivalim. So listen to this. And what's interesting is that, so what is kivalim? So kivalim are like the garters as well, but there was a piece of fabric, like literally a chain, in between the two kivalim. So a woman would wear this around her legs, but the kivalim had like a chain, sounds dramatic, but it had like a chain, a piece of, either could be chain actual, or a piece of fabric that connected the two rings around her legs. We'll see what the pshat of that is in just a moment. So the Gemara says, and are you telling me then that the chain between the two kevalim made it into a kli? How do we know? So I'll say again, if the assumption is that what made, remember the Mishnah said that the kivalim are mekabel tuma. So it must be that it's the chain that links the two bands of the kivalim that makes it into a kli. So the Gemara says maybe it's reflecting the deal of Rabbi Shulman Achmani. Why? Because Rabbi Shulman Achmani said to Rabbi Yochanan that when you have a kli that produces sound, it's the production of sound that makes it into a kli. Shene'emar, we had this before. Kol davar asher yavo ba'ish afilu dibor b'mashma. Because the pasuk says any item that will come into the fire. So remember again, the Gemara Darshan is called dibor. Even if a kli makes a sound, we have this by the bell, by the inbal, even if the kli makes a sound, that sound is enough to make it into a kli. So the Gemara says, afilu dibor b'mashma, bishlama hasam kaba'ule l'kala, v'ka'avid ma'isa. But I understand, in the case of, let's say, by the bell, you needed the piece on the inside in order to make sound. Hacha my ma'isa kaba'avid, but here, by the kivalim, what's the ma'isa that's being done? Hachanami ka'avid ma'isa. Here also, the chain plays a role. Why? The Amar Rabba Bar Al-Khana Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Mishpacha ach'achas ha'isa b'Yerushalayim, shahayu psiyoseihen gasos, v'hayu b'suloseihen noshros. So the Gemara says, there was a particular family in Yerushalayim, where the women, I don't know if they were very tall or had very long legs, but they took long strides. They took long strides. Now, as a result, what ended up happening is the hymen, the besulim, their besulim became dislodged. So Rav Osei, I have to say something, especially in terms of, it's very problematic because, again, the besulim was how a man knew that the woman that he married was a besula. The absence of besulim could cause major, major issues. So what happened? What did this family do? Asu lahen kivalim ve'etilu shalshalas b'nehem shelo yiyu psiyosein gasos. So what happened? What did this family do? This family went ahead and essentially, for the girls in the family, made this type of garter, but the two garters themselves were connected by either this chain or this piece of fabric, which essentially made the women take smaller steps. Because it made them take smaller steps, it kept the besulim intact. So what I say? So the Gemara says like this. The Gemara says, now, during this whole conversation, what came out is that the kivalim are on both legs, so the biris really represents the garter. The garter is obviously on both legs also, but it's not connected. The kivalim are on two legs, and they're connected. So the Gemara says, in the midst of all this, it ar behu Rabbi Yirmiya. Remember how this conversation started. Rabbi Yirmiya was dozing through this whole thing, and he woke up, and he said, Amr lehu yasher. And he said to them, shkoyach. V'chin Amar Rabbi Yochanan, and so too Rabbi Yochanan said the same idea. That Rabbi Yochanan also gave the same definition that the kivalim are like the birush, are like the two garters, but they're connected by this chin. We'll stop over here. We'll pick up right here tomorrow. Mirza Hashem.